Welcome back to Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor. And if one was to fall, the other would be there to pick that person back up. We are your hosts. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And Chelsea Corsi.
We're still married. 9 years and some change. You know, I personally don't know, Chels, what it is about the Amish market that it has the anointing, Chels. You know what I mean?
They love the Lord.
They must love the Lord, because there ain't no, like, your pastries cannot be this good. The best pastries I've ever had was at Eden. Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to say this. Make sure you subscribe and share and like the podcast for the sake of the podcast and for the sake of whoever feelings would be hurt. I don't know. Listen, the way we get the podcast out to people, or people to see it more, is for people to like it and share it more. Amen. For every view, they all count. Everybody matters. But these Amish people and their when we were at, is it called the Garden of Eden? Not the Garden of Eden. It was called Eden Rock, I think. Is that what it's called?
I don't remember going there with you.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the wrong place. Oh, okay. We were in Amish country in Lancaster, yes, yes, for the marriage thing. And, yes, you know, they just have,
oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, they have pastries available.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these just, oh, go, these, yeah, just go with the breakfast.
Oh, that was the Inn at Leola.
The Inn at Leola. There you go. Mm-hmm. And you're in, like, Lancaster, oh, these are probably PA, nice. So, you know, because you go to these places, it's a marriage retreat. So the food is, you know, is available. It's, yeah, made by somebody. I don't,
right,
know.
Right.
Apparently, whoever invented pastries was making the stuff. Because you go over there and it's like, these are some pastries. Oh, that looks nice. Let me grab this. And you bite it. And it's like, who made this?
Yeah.
Like, who had the audacity to make this and then sit it out here and then walk away? Like, what is wrong with you? How would you ever do this to somebody?
Yeah.
And I'll find myself, I'm going to go back and get me some more of these little pastries. Nah, I'm good with the bacon. Y'all got that? No, I'm over here with these pastries.
No, everything is better. The orange juice was better.
Hitting.
The heavy cream.
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Because I like putting cream in my tea.
Yes.
I had some Earl Grey tea with some heavy cream.
Hitting.
Tasted like it was fresh from the cow.
Fresh from,
like,
the cow.
Everything was just, the whole breakfast spread was delicious. That, yes, dessert they had that one night was banging. Remember, it was like a tort of some sort. Not a tort, but like,
you
a,
know what?
What do they call those?
I don't know.
The British dessert. And it's a, like,
trifle.
A trifle.
Yes.
That was crazy. Oh, my gosh.
You know what's even crazier is, number one, we're doing a marriage podcast right now. We're talking about Amish food. I love it. But it's the fact that we were in Amish country and we were at a marriage retreat.
It was a marriage retreat.
And you were pregnant at the time.
And I was pregnant.
Yes. And you're pregnant now, so.
I am pregnant,
yes,
now.
Yes, pregnant now.
It's true.
Amen. For all those who don't know, you know now.
Yeah.
She is pregnant.
Yes.
With seed, my, mm-hmm, seed. Amen.
Okay. Praise, amen, the Lord.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's good. That's a great intro. Let's just hop on into our subject matter for the day.
Okie dokie. This whole season, in case you're just tuning in for the first time, has been with the theme, why should I get married? Because, mm-hmm, we're living in a day and time where people are asking that question quite often.
Right.
So today we're talking about, there's a video from Kev on Stage.
What did you learn from your first heartbreak? You know, I've never really had heartbreak. I started dating my wife at 16, and I've never truly loved another woman romantically. So I've never really had heartbreak, but I've learned a lot about loving the same woman, and that is that you must be willing to love them as they change. The 16-year-old version of Melissa isn't the same as the 20-year-old with no kids, or the 25-year-old mother of two kids, or the 30-year-old, or 35 or 40, you know. Every version of that person has changed, and I think I've learned to love her as she changes, and she's loving me as I change. And that's probably the thing I've learned the most.
And what advice did you give to those who are looking to get married?
I think a lot of times we fall for the Hollywood version of love. Expecting to navigate a relationship without any sort of friction means one or both of you is not being truthful and honest. Every day is not going to be a great day, but that doesn't mean the relationship isn't good.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people shy away from marriage or just committed relationships in general for a fear of getting hurt,
mm-hmm,
as well as for a fear of things changing.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's actually, it's a lot to dig in where we could dig in right there.
Yeah.
I had said, I think it's actually good to talk about what people have learned from heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because if, number one, if you go into it thinking, what can I learn from it? That's just a positive attitude, right? You can actually learn from all situations, good or bad. Yep. But heartbreak is really a devastating thing that I think in its truest form, you cannot prepare yourself for heartbreak.
No.
Even like, I don't actually think you can prepare yourself for heartbreak, because if you are preparing yourself for heartbreak, I don't think you're truly in love. Like in the way that, okay, let me make this make sense, because the in love that I would be with you is not the in love that I was when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Right. Because I already was in love before.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like that in love, like where you know, you're infatuated, like infatuated with no regard for human life. Like, I have no regard for what this may do to me. You don't go in talking about, oh, I wonder if we'll break up, or
right,
what are the bad things, or, you know, hey, this doesn't, you know, some of these things don't line up. Hey, you're 15. That means nothing to me. We're going to be together forever. And none of that goes into account. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you're at the point where you're guarding, you're not at the initial point of being in love. Mm. Like, you're not there anymore. Like, so, so this is in my mind.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
yeah,
that I can never be that person ever again. Like, it was like you're the
that doesn't know that there's a chance of
that
heartbreak
that goes in with that in mind, because you
that
know
goes in with heartbreak in mind.
Right. Well, to where, like, because here's the thing, when you're together, you know that you could get your heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
But like the place it occupies in your mind is so distant,
yeah,
that it doesn't really even exist.
Yeah, true.
Like, that was never on my mind, like, oh, we're going to break up, or like, I don't even remember thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember thinking, oh, I want to be around this person, like, you know.
And of course we're going to be together forever.
Right.
Why would we break up?
Why would we break up? You're not even thinking about
that. Why would that happen?
So now.
How would that happen?
So that person, like, you can only, it's like that first hit, that yeah, first hit of drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, praise God, I've never experienced, but, hey, you know, I, you know, let's say
we've
any
heard about it, we've
ecstasy,
all heard about it.
You know what, mm-hmm, I mean? Ecstasy or some drug that makes you feel good. It's like, you'll never get that same thing again.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it dulls down.
Yeah.
But I think the person that goes in knowing that that can happen can never be in that euphoric state.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But going in and having the guard, it doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't there anymore. It just means, you know, you have that possibility.
Right.
Right. And so now, if you are that person, I feel like you can actually, you know, go in with a positive attitude towards it and be like, okay, this is something that was really bad, and I can take something good from it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think taking that from that is like, well, what did I actually learn from heartbreak? Wow. I mean, I feel like you learn that love is real.
Mm.
Like, you know, like that feeling is real. Like, until you have it, you don't, you know, like, you don't know it's real. Like, it's really just an idea. Like, the idea of somebody having butterflies and knowing, you know, like, having that, literally that feeling, like, where it's you know, it's kind of like painful to be away from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all an idea until you go through it. Then it's like, oh, love is a real thing.
Mm.
That's one aspect.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Some people would, you know, my uncle, who's very lovey, and you know, very, he's a thinker,
mm-hmm,
says, you know, like, falling in love is like, this is you being introduced to God.
Because
God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And on earth, this is, and I don't know how true, you know, take it for what it is.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, when you feel that infatuation, it's like you're being introduced to God. And he says, well, you had to be introduced to me at some point. And I was just like, all right, well, I mean, you know, that's a way to take it. Mm-hmm. Fine. I can accept that. But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways is learning that love is actually real. And it's very powerful and strong. But, you know, also learning that the more invested you are, the easier it is to, you know, the more invested you are into a company, you know, the worse off the company goes, like, the more financially destitute you are. It's not, you know, you're not like, hey, I bought 10 shares of Apple and,
right,
you know, Apple
right,
went
right
under. It's like, no, I bought the 10 million.
Yeah.
And we lost all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm broke now.
Yes. And what did you learn? I don't think we've ever spoken about this. If you've learned any, well, you've learned something, but you know.
Yeah. Off the dome.
Off the dizome. Oh no.
I've learned that love is a choice that you don't want to rush to make, but you also don't want to miss the opportunity to experience. If that makes sense.
It makes sense to me.
Okay.
You don't want to rush into it.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to miss out
on it.
Right.
Because when you invest in the right person, it is worth it. Is you get more than a return on that investment.
Right.
But when you invest, I'm the type of person, like, I always was all in.
Yes.
You know, and you too.
Certainly.
And like you said, you go all in, and if it goes awry, it's like you lost a lot.
Right.
You did.
Because you were invested.
But if you go all in and the stock is good.
Right.
Now you could get like a crazy return on that investment.
Right.
And it doesn't come with regret.
Yeah.
So I think that the people that I had my heart broken by, like, I should have never been that invested in them in the first place, honestly.
That's fair.
And if I would have been more aware and not so eager for the thrill of it, that I didn't really think about who.
Right.
And just was excited that for an opportunity to do it, just like, oh yeah, oh, it's a person for me to be with, all right, let's do it. And it's like, that's not how this is. Nah. Let's not do that. So yeah. I think that's what comes to my mind first.
Yeah. I think it's actually a really interesting thing he says, because it's not, number one, it's like, that's one of the best things you can have, I guess, with interviewers. He says, well, what did you learn from heartbreak? Oh, I've actually never experienced heartbreak. But he's on the good side of it. It's like, well, I never experienced heartbreak because I was with this woman whom I literally still love, and we're just still together. It's, she's like, oh, wow, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But I think, but it is, the second part of what he says is actually crucial, is the stages of a relationship, or the stages of love. They're really the stages of life. Loving people where they are, and having appreciation for where they've come from.
Yeah.
And an appreciation for where they're going.
Yeah.
Like, you love all these people. And I've thought about that before, and I feel like I've said that to you before, which is kind of a hard thing. It's like, even though you love people for where they were. It's like, if you fell in love with somebody, even though they broke your heart, it's like the person who didn't break your heart, you still love that person.
Right.
They're just not that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The person you fell in love with is a person that loved you.
Yeah.
And who you had.
Well, at least it seemed that way. Yeah.
It seemed. And it seemed that way. But I don't want to discount youth either. Like, when you're young. Yeah, young people be dumb, Charles. Like, they can't help themselves. They be stupid, man. Like, they just...
All of us, yeah.
Like, all of us, we're dumb. Like, because we don't know, and we're, sometimes we're emotionally immature.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're just immature regardless. And there's certain, there's certain things that if somebody communicated properly and wasn't immature, could tell you, like, hey, I'm in over my head. And I feel like you're more invested than I am.
Yeah.
So maybe we should sever.
Yeah.
Kids, like... cannot do that.
Can't have that type of conversation intelligently.
Yes. Right. They don't have that sort of resolve to break people's heart because they're young and, you know, or really just to let people down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even a thought of that is just funny to me because kids be dumb. So I don't want to discount the fact that people did actually love you.
See, that's where I keep taking pause.
It's like, did you really love me?
Right. And I'm not saying intentionally. I'm not saying they intentionally didn't love you. You think you love people until you find out what love is.
Well, that's fair.
So it's like, well, did you really love her? Did she really love you?
At their level.
Right.
At their level of love.
That level, are you capable, is my question as well.
I think so.
Because, I mean, it probably depends on who were the person. Yes. I think that might be an individual
thing. It might be.
Thing. I don't think it's a blanket statement of like, oh, yeah, you can. It's like they might not be at a point of maturity and understanding where they're actually. Because love, I really do believe love is a it's not just a feeling. Mm. You can have love for people, mm-hmm. but being in love with a person is not the same. It's mm-hmm. not a feeling, mm-hmm. you know, and choosing to be in love with somebody, allowing yourself to get to that level of vulnerability and commitment.
Yes.
I don't think that everybody's like always ready for that as a young teenager. Nah,
not at all.
No. And part of it literally could just be ignorance. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you don't even know what that is. You always joke right. and say you don't know what love is.
Don't.
A lot of people don't. Like, a lot of people do not know what love is and therefore can't do it. Like, they don't realize that they're not doing it because they don't know what it is.
Right.
They have an idea of what they think it is and they're doing that.
Okay. But, okay, that's fair.
Uh-huh.
But I want to, like, imagine, let's put your children into the equation.
Okay.
Like, your children love you at the level that they understand love.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that they don't love you. Mm-hmm. It just means at the level of which they can express love, that's yeah. what they do.
Yeah.
And I'm coming from that aspect.
Okay.
You know what
okay.
I mean? Is they don't understand real love, no.
Right, right.
But whatever level of love they understand, mm-hmm. they have that for you.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, though, because with children, that's more of a natural mm-hmm. affection.
Right.
With a spouse or significant other, that's more of an intentionality.
Yes.
That's something you're taking on. Like, you can't help but to love your parents. That's just something yes. that's in you. Like, there ain't no baby in the world that's like, get her away from me. I hate my mom.
Right. It's true. That'd be a very stout baby. Like, sir, you're going to be a college professor. That was very clear diction and command of the English language. Pretty impressed by that, sir.
And what the heck did she do? Because it takes a lot.
Takes a lot. Yeah.
You know, that's a thing. And the Bible says that in the end times, they will be without natural affection.
Right.
There's such a thing as, like, a child's love for their parents right. and a parent's love for their children is different. Right.
It is.
Because it's unconditional by nature.
Yes.
So I don't think that, like, loving your spouse or significant other is unconditional by nature.
Oh, no. Not even
yeah,
close.
Yeah, so I think that's, like, two different types of...
Yes.
You know. Well, it's not. It's the same type of love. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't come naturally.
Yeah, and obviously your kids don't choose to love you.
No.
It's just a natural...
It's just a yes. natural thing. And that loyalty... Mm-hmm. Like, there's plenty of people out there that can attest to the fact right. that their mom or their dad was just a complete butthole and really jacked up everything, but Mercy. They still love them and they still want a relationship with them and they're still trying to make it work,
oh,
you know?
There it is. For such is the kingdom of God.
Ah.
There it is.
Be like the children.
To be like the children. To love with loyalty.
Wow.
Loyal to love.
Yeah, yeah.
And there it is. And I'm sitting there, when you said that, I'm sitting there thinking about the phases.
Yeah.
It's like... You know, the phases of loving you is like, obviously, you are 33. How old are you now?
Two.
You're a young joint.
You're funny.
32 now. You know, I've loved you for, you know, since I met you, really. You know, since October 21st, 2010. I've always loved you. I told you that. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. You know, the Lord sent me here to show you what love was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I knew what love was. You didn't. So I had to be, you had to learn of me. Mm-hmm. Okay. But... Yeah, so you're a different person.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's actually, but the you know, the crazy thing, Chelsea, is I've never considered myself a different person, but I probably have to be.
Yeah. That's true.
I have to be a different person. There's no way I could
be. Because we are. You still are yourself, but you're mm-hmm. you're yourself under different circumstances and with a different set of knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So I can't, you know, expect young, you know, young Chelsea, young, hot to trot. Young, tender, you know, tender Chelsea to be the same as mom with kids Chelsea.
Yeah.
Married for years Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
A woman of God. And that's not to say you wasn't a woman of God, but, you know, in comparison to then, you know, you were just a heathen. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Right, right.
Just some
still heathens.
Some heathens that own Bibles.
He was worse. That's exactly for some reason. Put that on a plaque. Heathens that own Bibles.
Oh, that's what we was.
That's Heathens exactly what. Yes.
Oh, mercy.
I read this sometimes.
But when God said, that's funny. Oh, man. But when God said, be like children, that loyal love
yeah.
is like, yeah, that's what God is. That's, and I've literally been thinking about that for years and dissecting at least in my mind, mm-hmm. like, what does God mean when he says, be like, the kingdom of God mm-hmm. is like a child. Mm-hmm. Like, how are children? They're loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
A child will lie for their parents.
Yeah.
Even when the yeah. parent isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it will, like, you know, and certainly, you know, they're falling the sword. They'll take the blame. They'll, you know, they love their parents without even trying. It's mm-hmm. natural. It almost supersedes the choice to love.
It does.
Because it's more like God's love.
Yeah.
God, it's agape. It's agape. It's like God isn't choosing to love us when he naturally loves us. Mm. I don't believe God is saying,
it's
like,
just his
oh,
nature.
It's just his nature.
Jeez.
Right? That's like, it's amazing. Natural love, natural agape love supersedes the choice to love.
Yeah.
Even though the choice to love is probably one of the strongest loves that you can have.
Yeah.
God even supersedes that.
Yeah.
And just by being who he is, he's just like, oh, I just love you. And mm-hmm. he's not in his mind talking about, oh, here I go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make the choice. Oh, I'm just going to love you. He's like, no, I'm just God.
It's just what I do.
It's just what I do. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is good. But when I think about those actual phases, it's like, I don't even know, like what do you even think, like, my phases were? Because I feel like I've been the same dude. But there's no way, because I was 19. And when you're 19, you don't know anything.
I mean, do you mean phases of love or phases of Ron?
I would say phases of Ron. Because here's how it ties, everybody, is that people feel like people are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the deterrents of people wanting to get married, because they feel like, if I get married, it's going to be all good in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to change and be something else.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is that, yes,
yeah.
like by nature, everybody changes. They're actually supposed to change.
Yeah.
But your commitment is what keeps you together.
That should not change.
Right. Your devotion to, like, oh, I'm going to learn this person in this phase
mm-hmm.
is what, you know, actually makes the marriage last.
Yeah.
Don't go in thinking like, oh, you changed. It's like, no, yeah. I was alive.
Yeah.
That's all that actually happened.
That's it. I've lived.
Yeah, I've lived.
We've lived. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, phases of Ron, I would definitely say in the beginning, you were more just living.
Certainly.
There wasn't as much thought going into it.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that in a bad way. It just, I mean it in a young way. When I met you, you were about to turn 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I had just turned 19. Dang. So, you know, it's like, I've always been an overthinker, but, but like, you weren't really, I don't think you were really just like, oh man, like, what's my purpose, or what does the Lord want for me to do, or mm-hmm. anything like that. Like, you were just living and yeah. doing things that, you've never been someone who was like out here trying to be like a daredevil or anything like that. Always been in the pocket, you know, like doing things that are sensible.
Yeah, most.
You know, so it's like you were very sensible. You did things that were sensible that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, you weren't like thinking deeply about the moves that you were making, or even really trying to make any
mm-hmm.
significant moves. And then I did see like a very big transition when you started to seek God more. And where you became more thoughtful
mm.
about, like, oh, well, what should I do?
Mm.
What is best for our family?
Yeah.
What does the Lord want? You know, and then also just a shift in priorities.
Mm.
And I wouldn't say, like, I don't really know if it was a shift of priorities or just a beginning of prioritizing.
Mm. That's funny.
Because, like, I can't really think about, I mean, but we were so young.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much to balance. It was just you go to work yeah. and then you hang out with your girlfriend.
That's pretty
like,
much it.
What else is there to
really
balance?
Isn't. Ain't much else.
You know, and, yeah. and you was still at home, you know, like yeah. you ain't had bills and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was like Netflix and chill and work, like mm-hmm. the end. So, you know, but once we got married and then you like really started seeking the Lord more, like I saw the introduction of you being aware of like, okay, what should my priorities be? How do I keep God first? How do I seek him? And what would he want us to do? And then from there, I saw a shift into like being a lot more just fluid, I guess. As far as like like we recently had a conversation where I was like, you know, we were talking about some an endeavor that a ministry endeavor, and I was asking you like, okay, well, what is the plan? Like, what is the goal? Mm-hmm. Not even necessarily the plan. Well, both. Mm-hmm. What is the goal and what is the plan to achieve the goal? And you were kind of just like, well, you know, I kind of just don't even want to define it because I just want to be open to what the Lord is, you know, saying. I don't feel like that was you.
Younger.
13 years ago.
Nah.
Yeah. So.
You're right.
Yeah. That would be what I would say.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, for you, I feel like loving you, wow. I feel like it's easier to, well, you know, by nature, it's probably easier to love you now than it was to love you when we were younger. Because
that's interesting.
Yeah, right. Because
sounds so backwards. Like, what do you mean?
Right. No. I think it sounds backwards, but I think it's actually right.
Okay.
It's easier to love you now than it was to love you when you were young.
Okay.
Why? Because number one, you're still finding yourself.
Yeah.
And in certain respects, so am I. Mm-hmm. You know. And I'm also ill-equipped to love people when I'm younger. I don't have the proper equipment like I should. And I don't have the proper communication skills. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I'm a decent human. That's why you know, you're attracted to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still young. It's like when you get older, like nothing, one of the most sad, like there's a commercial saying, I can't remember what it's saying, but it's like, here are like, certain amount of the most satisfying things that humans experience, and one is like, oh, taking your shoes off when you get home, telling people I told you so, and you know, stuff like that. But one of the most satisfying things is being older and being able to look back at young people and see exactly what they're going through, and it just brings you joy.
Yeah.
Because you know it doesn't matter. Some things matter, but most of it doesn't even matter. It's just funny. Mm-hmm. Like and you're sitting there, it is so crazy that it does not matter how old, experienced or young you are in this scope of the transaction between somebody older giving the most sound doctrine of wisdom possible to this young person over here.
Will
not accept it. Does not matter.
It thinks they know better.
Yeah. And they just say, oh, okay, they'll find out. Mm-hmm. And when I say they know, it's like they know. And now I'm getting old enough to the point where I know.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Just I'm you looking at these fools. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I am telling you, sir. If you do that, this is going to happen.
Yep.
And like it ain't even nothing to debate. And they're just like, nah, what I don't uh-huh. say. All right, no problem.
Yes,
and now you immediately think to every old person who loved you enough to try and give you sound wisdom and doctrine, and you thought nothing of it.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just funny to me. But yes, being an older man is like, number one, I've grown in my love for you. So, and I know you better. And I feel like you've grown into yourself more. Mm-hmm. Like you're more secure in who you are now than where you were at 19, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 19, whatever you've gone through as a child, at 19, you're freshly out of it. You know what I mean?
Wasn't even fully out of something.
Right. And some stuff you're not even out of yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you're still dealing with that and trying to make sense of that. And then you add me into it. You know, I'm a good thing, but we don't always know what to do with a good thing.
Yeah, not at all.
You know what I mean? And now, you know, we have to navigate that. Mm-hmm. But when you get more settled in, like, you know, and you talk about it and you get more resolved, you get revelation from the Lord, you get therapy and whatever it is, you know, and that's whether good or bad, just trying to make sense of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you get further in, you become more settled in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now certain aspects of who you are don't change.
Mm.
I think that's the actual glue that makes marriage work, is that the essence of who you are in every phase does not change.
That's true.
Like, I know you're always bubbly. Well, you're not always bubbly, but at your heart, you want to be.
Yeah.
And at your heart, you want to be bubbly. You want to laugh. You want to have, you know, you want to do nice things. Like you want to spend fine. You want to have quality time. Mm-hmm. That never changes, right? Mm-hmm. You want to go places. Like you always want to go to a museum. That's never going to change, mm-hmm. right? I always want to let's go eat some Mexican. Yes. My God, I know that that's not going to change, mm-hmm. but how much time changes, mm-hmm. When we're going to eat Mexican changes.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean? that's funny. how we're going to spend our time together, how yeah. we're going to spend our money, that stuff changes, but the essence of that person does not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that... I think that's like spot on. Just that, cause and I was thinking about that, cause I'm like, do we really change? Mm-hmm. You know, like I think about that sometimes when people are like, you've changed. It's like, but people generally are still the same people at their core. Mm-hmm. It's just that. But I also was listening to what he said about just like the phases of life that you're in, like the load that you're carrying, mm-hmm. the weight, the responsibilities, and the differing responsibilities. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, there's always responsibilities in every phase, but depending on like what you have on your plate at the time, capacity mm-hmm. changes at times too.
Sure.
I saw a video not long ago of this dude that was saying like a few years ago, like he had started doing the laundry instead of his wife. I don't know if they're a Christian couple or not, but mm-hmm. he said he started doing the laundry instead of his wife. And, they have kids and like, they still had like a newborn at the time this video was filmed. And he was saying, like, I had to stop looking at household chores as, like, roles mm-hmm. and just start looking at what works best for our family.
Right.
And he was saying, like, in return, you know, my wife has more capacity for, like, a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, but it's both ways. You know, we both look at where we are and say, like, what is best for the family? Like, how can I contribute in a way that's going to help?
Yeah.
And I think in relationships, when your partner is going through different seasons mm-hmm. in life and grappling with different things, because going back to Kev on stage, he was saying, like, you know, Melissa, his wife's name is Melissa.
Oh, okay.
He's saying 16-year-old Melissa is not the same as 20-something-year-old Melissa who has two little kids or three mm-hmm. little kids or whatever. She's not.
Can't be.
And I think a lot of times we don't really have understanding for that. Mm-hmm. Like, no, she's not. And no, he's not.
Sure.
You know, because now he's not just trying to provide for him and his wife in a one bedroom apartment. Now mm-hmm. we have a three bedroom house mm-hmm. and two kids with one on the way. Mm-hmm. It's different. Yeah. You know, and it's like expecting. I think a lot of times when people think of things changing, it's like they're not. But the beauty of it is that you're doing it together, though, mm-hmm. because life would have changed for you and life would have changed you,
right.
whether you were alone or together.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's like it's just really being willing to give the grace for that. Mm. I think if you could change the expectation from it's going to get worse to it's just going to be different, mm-hmm. that would be really helpful.
Because
what you just said, yeah, we're still going to go, we still spend quality time, but we can't mm-hmm. just leave out of nowhere right. and go to Chick-fil-A.
Can't just go.
We can't do that. We can't just go sit in the park and talk in the car.
For hours
no. and be on the phone all night and all no. night anything.
Right. Ain't going to be no all night. Nothing in this place.
Excuse me. But yeah, ain't nothing going on all night. You know, like we're doing good if we made it to 10 o'clock. Like, my man, God. We up late tonight, you know. And what consumes our days is different, yes. you know.
Amen.
Because you don't just get off of work and be done. No. You get off of work and feed the kids dinner and do baths and, yeah. you know, whatever else you're doing. And then you're trying to find time around life happening. But that's good. Mm. That's not bad. It's no. different.
Right.
But it's also great.
Amen.
It's not like taking away from, it's adding to. And I think really it's just all about the perspective of it that like really it's a blessing to be in different seasons and to grow.
It is.
And to change.
To everything there's a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I mean, carnal mindedness, which of course the world wouldn't call it anything. They would just be calling it thinking. Mm-hmm. But carnal mind is what the Bible says. Carnal mind is enmity against God, because it's not subject to the law of God and cannot be, because the law of God is spirit, is spiritual. But understanding that everything is a season, spiritually, is paramount. And that's a hard battle for human beings, especially because human beings, including me, like, we don't like change. I don't like change at all, depending on the situation. If it's a good thing.
Right, right.
If it's a bad thing, you can't wait for it to change.
Well, if it's something you wanted to keep.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to keep just me and you, you know? And then you add children and, oh, God, then you add extra jobs and, oh, and then you add, you know, mortgages and different relationships. And then people, you know, some people get sick, some people get ill, some people need to move.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff that happens. But if we would actually put at the forefront that to everything there is a season.
Yeah.
Everything. And that's under heaven. So whatever it is, it will change. Yeah. And if we go into it with that actual mantra, I think people would have a far better actually outlook for marriage. And you going and saying, like, yeah, like, this is not going to be, it's not going to look like this. Which I believe in our hearts we know, but without being able to bring it to, like, the forefront of our mind, we don't realize how much we can miss it.
Yeah.
We don't realize that the 60-year-old or the 80-year-old couple that's been married 60 years, they didn't look like that 60 years ago.
Amen.
We just think, oh, that's just so nice. It's like, you don't, like, know. Like, that's the progression.
Yeah.
It's like, everybody wants to stay young forever, but you also want to be married for a long time. It's like, you can't have both.
Yeah.
It's like, if you bring it to the forefront of your mind, oh, to everything there is a season. This season of youth is going to go away. And if you're blessed, at the end of that season, you'll have gold. You'll have that golden marriage.
Yeah.
Where you 50 years and you still love each other and you're still together. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a beautiful thing.
It is. And it's something to be maintained, you know, because as long as you are very intentional about not losing, just like getting to the point where you don't know each other at all, you know, because, yeah, people change and everything. But when you don't make an effort to stay, just like to keep dating the whole time, like maintain that quality time, even if it looks different and even if it's less, maintain it, make it regular, you know, and communicate and share, be open and honest and all of that. Like, if you maintain that part of the relationship, you know, then it'll never be like you're a stranger to me.
Right.
It'll be, wow, like, I've come to learn more about you. And okay, so this is how I can love you now.
Yeah.
You know, because that might need to change too, though.
Yeah.
People get frustrated with that too. Like, oh, well, I always did that and that was enough and now it's not.
That's true.
Or you need something else. You ain't need that before.
That can be frustrating.
Yeah.
It can be straight up annoying.
That, yeah.
You know, but it's a part. But don't look at it as annoyance, people, whoever that person is. Look at it as a new dating experience.
Yeah.
It's like, really, you're with the same woman, but. Or with the same man, but really you're dating a new person.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going on a date. We're going on vacation for the first time.
Yeah.
As a couple, as a married couple.
Yeah.
Now we're going on vacation for the first time as a couple with a child.
Yeah.
Then we're going on a couple that left the child at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're going as a couple with teenagers. Now we're going as empty nesters. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's all different phases, and they all can be beautiful if you appreciate them.
Yeah, if you appreciate them and just stay connected, because I think what's beautiful is when, you know, if the Lord allows, the kids are gone. Certainly. And you're older.
Amen.
And maybe you're able to decrease your workload.
Sure enough.
And actually have prepared financially.
Yeah.
And now we can go back to, hey, you want to just run a Chick-fil-A? Or, hey, you want to go sit at the park? That actually makes me want to tear up, Ron. I am hormonal, but that makes me want to tear up.
That's very funny.
Because you can come back to that.
You can.
That can come back around. Or you might be like, hey, I don't feel like going anywhere because we're old.
It's
you 4:30
in the afternoon. I don't know what you're talking about. Go to Chick-fil-A. It's 4:30, girl. You must be crazy.
The hilarious 4:30.
4:30. Can't
or
do
that.
It.
Or you can just be like, hey, we ain't doing jack.
Not a thing.
And I love you. You're my fave.
You're my
fave. And that's cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Mm-hmm. So if you liked the episode, please like, subscribe, and share. Make a comment. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have each other. It's a blessing to have marriage and to not discount it, but to really appreciate and cherish it is something that you work on. It's like a fine sculpture that you never really get right.
Yeah.
But you keep working on it, mm-hmm. and you keep molding it. You keep adding a little water, put a little here, put a little there. Even if you have something beautiful, it can always be made more beautiful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I love you, lover.
Love you too.
We love you guys, and we'll see you next time.